You know, if we have Hellboy do nothing else but just bring in intro music, I think he's, you know, some of his recent picks have been pretty good, buddy.
Do not give him a swell head.
I like that.
Okay.
What was the last band you had up, what, 15 minutes ago? What was that? I can't remember. It was good.
Oh, Austin?
Was that Boston?
I know what it was. It wasn't Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Next week, their show's here. 1 week only.
We want to hear that.
Record that stuff live. I'm assuming you're going to be there.
I'm busy. I need to hear it here. I want to give people a little bit of a taste.
I'm trying not to drive people away.
You've never heard it, because if you did, you'd be hooked.
Next week. Sherry Baby, a little Sherry Baby.
Any one of them.
Okay.
Walk Like a Man.
That's right.
Which I wish you would do once in a while.
He's looking blankly at us, like he has no clue.
No, he has no clue.
I don't know what's going on right now.
I know.
December 1963, phenomenal song, by the way. With the drumming and intro that you should be playing for along with Tom Whaley.
I missed the sixth team that was possibly looking at AP. It was Dallas, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, San Diego, Arizona. What was the sixth one?
Did you say San Diego? You did.
Buccaneers.
Arizona, Atlanta, Dallas, Jacksonville, San Diego, and Tampa Bay. Yep.
Miss Jacksonville. Okay.
But you know what? Initially I'm saying, well, they would never trade their first pick, but they have really high second-round picks, which would make it tantalizing.
You know, even a 2-3 and a 4? Yeah, you know, I always thought it had to be in the first round, but now when you start to think about it.
No, you can get some pretty good talent there.
Yeah, and like you made some really good points in your last show, last 15-minute segment about, you know, the question is as much as first year, but then 2 years out, you know, and what do you...
Well, if you're a lousy team, why would you want to... Other than to try to sell tickets.
Yeah.
By the way, Marsh Hallberg with us from Hallberg Criminal Defense. Today's Marsh Hallberg Sports Law segment on 105 The Ticket, brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. Now, Marsh, there's a lot going on with stadiums. I mean, we're not done with them if they try to build this soccer deal. What are you thinking? A likelihood, good, bad, indifferent?
Well, you know, late last week, I posted an article on the website for The Ticket that's under review, our legal section, and just talking about legal and business stuff, talking about stadium financing. And I hadn't really found an article that really, I thought, encapsulated all the stadiums into one article, looking at them as a group. And so I started piecing those together, doing all those Google searches and throwing them together, and I quickly passed $1 billion. That the state has done, either the state or Minneapolis, some government entity that some taxpayers paid between the Twins and TCF and the Saints and the Vikings. So the state portion, or the public portion, I should say, of subsidies for the last four stadiums is well over $1 billion.
That's a great point, because they don't break them down. They break them down one at a time, but don't put it together, because the government doesn't want, or the state doesn't want you to think they're giving that much money.
No, it is an astronomical amount of money, and I get it. Really makes you have to pause. I mean, I couldn't love sports more than I do, but at some point, the economic value of the areas and the tax generated and all that, I get all that value. But the one that frosted me the most when I really tried to look at the numbers was the Vikings the deal that happened. When you look at us putting $500 million in, okay, I get that. But when you say, well, the owners put in $500 million, more than that. But when you look at that, you're going, I'm going to build, let's say you really like lemonade, Bob. You know, we would like lemonade. So, okay, Bob, we want lemonade around here. We're going to help you build a lemonade stand. And after we built the lemonade stand, we're going to give you the naming rights for that lemonade stand. So we built it for you with our money, but now we're going to give you the rights. That's $100 million they're talking about for the naming rights for this Viking stadium. So of your $500 million, you've already been given back, in effect, for free, $100 million. So now you're down to $400 million. Now you're going to get the seat revenue. Again, we built the seats for you, so we're going to give you the seats, so you take that dollar value off of the $500 million that you've paid. That knocks you down further. You own development property. We're going to give you this park for, what, 200 and some days out of 365 a year that you can then rent that out to groups and whatever you want, so you get all the revenue from that. The soccer thing hasn't gone their way, but we're going to give you the right that if a soccer team is going to play in the stadium, you have the exclusive right ownership to that team for at least 5 years. That's certainly worth the dollar. And there's just more and more of those things.
Also, I believe that the Vikings are also getting money from the league, because they've always been lending teams. Right. It's basically an excuse, and the money's excused.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's a... Yeah, it's a,
so really, I mean, they're not. It's not like they're writing a check for $500 million.
No, and the rich get richer. So, I mean, it's part of that. Envy Miami? Absolutely. I mean, these businessmen are successful because they know how to craft a deal, but we are so addicted to our sports, and I get that. To lose the Vikings would be a huge loss for this state. And are you willing to pay things that maybe are not more of your heart than your head? Absolutely. And that's kind of what we're doing. balloon to a certain extent. So now the problem is you've got over $1 billion that we spent, and everybody's getting, as I think the Speaker of the House called it, stadium fatigue, that now the soccer stadium, even before they can even come to the table, they've already passed, the Senate did yesterday, Minnesota Senate passed a vote, I think it was 61-4, obviously bipartisan, I mean overwhelmingly, almost unanimous, just a statement saying we are not going to use any state money for this stadium. Nobody's asked for it either. I mean, these owners are savvy enough to know they don't even come to the table because they'll get slaughtered, but it's clearly a shot in advance so people can show how frugal they're trying to be. So it's going to be about a $250 million investment for this 7,000-person stadium.
Well, but also, let's take a look. I have, and we've talked about this before, I believe, and we're talking right now to Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. I don't ever recall three different owners coming together to own a team, and each of them was a billionaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know, like, when does that happen?
Yeah.
You know, the Polat family, yeah,
right?
Glenn Taylor, and he's a billionaire too, right? The owner of the guy that started United Health.
Yeah. Well, he's gonna. I don't know if he's in a billion range, but he's certainly extremely.
Well, I think he is.
Bill McGuire.
Yeah, Bill McGuire.
Yeah. That. Serious money at the table, whatever it is, but. So part of me looks at, although I just was kind of talking again here with the billion-dollar investment we made, in some ways I'm going, of all the projects that are out there, this one kind of reminds me a lot of what the Twin Stadium has done for the downtown. But when you look on a map at where this project really is, because I kind of was a little fuzzy, I had to really look at that closely. It's called the West Loop. It's directly west of the Target Stadium, the Twin Stadium. That's exactly where the property is. It's called the West Loop. And part of, I know what developers do with any project, whether it's a commercial site or a residential site or this, whatever it is, you get some snazzy plans thrown out there to get people excited by seeing what could be there. But if what they are proposing to do in this area is a fraction of what these drawings and concept plans show, it's a pretty exciting project. You know, there's a lot of criticism that the north side of the city just doesn't get its fair representation of dollar value and everything else, and they're looking at having the Metro Link going to hook up there. I think by 2019 at the latest is going to go down past the Twin Stadium there. So that's going to revitalize that area to a certain extent anyway. But they're taking a serious look. I don't think it's going to happen because of a lot of the traffic it's going to reroute. But they're looking at taking about a quarter mile section of that 94 off ramp that comes in when you're coming in from the west going east into downtown Minneapolis, and that whole hodgepodge of the 94 ramp that we all twist around to come down into downtown or to go north or whatever. They're looking at pulling that section out, actually elevating it further to open up the property underneath it.
So it is $3 billion, because McGuire, back in 2006, before he had left, you know, as a matter of fact, his severance alone could be as much as $1.1
billion. Okay.
His severance alone, that's a story from 2006, and he was on the Forbes list at being worth $1.2 billion in 2006. So he, I doubt the man has not made bad investments.
Yeah, and it's
the point is, you still got two billionaire families. Yeah. Really three, but if you're not even counting him. So whatever they want, they should come up with the money.
Yeah, and they're going to. The only thing they were asking for is like $3 million, I think, for. They're going to come back to the county for either road improvements and or they want to have a waiver of the sales tax on the construction, which is done for the other stadiums, by the way, and a waiver of property taxes, I think, for. It's about a on a $250 million investment, if government's only asking to put in $3 million total, that's a pretty good ratio.
You know what, though? And, Marsh, this is where I've always been on this. If it's something that they do, that the city does, or whether it gets county involvement, for any business, then do it.
Right.
But you got to stop making special concessions, because it's one thing. The Vikings, the MLS team is not a Vikings.
No.
People are not passionate. Yeah, there are some that are passionate, but they're not clamoring. And who's gonna weep if if there's no professional soccer team in Minneapolis? There's not gonna be people well, there may be. I guess some of them, they could probably rally some people to go to the state capital that we want soccer.
Well, they're averaging 7,000 people, a game at the Blaine Stadium.
Wow.
Well, that's all they got to work with, and you're going way up there. So again, it's a.
You're a soccer fan.
Not yet.
And I don't really care.
No, I don't care.
It doesn't matter to me.
I don't watch soccer. But I think it's a growing thing. I think younger people, as we get more of an international population coming to town that have come from other countries that bring soccer with their heritage or their family ties, it's going to grow. But can you imagine if there had been this – can you imagine a 61-4 vote saying we're not going to give any money to the Vikings a couple of years ago? I mean, no way.
So. It might as well have been that if they kept getting knocked down. And by the way, I've been hearing soccer is going to grow since the 70s when I told you the Cosmo story. You know, in Jersey, they were selling out, allegedly, selling out Giant Stadium. Most of the tickets were giveaways. That destroyed the Cosmos and soccer in the you know, in the New York metro area.
Learning
when word got
free?
Out, they were just giving away the tickets. So it didn't exactly help them.
Well, I got you know, Doug Hazelton in our office. That guy breathes, lives soccer. He's got his whole all four walls of his office are plastered with soccer jerseys, and he knows every single team. And
I have friends that love it too.
Yeah,
and people I know, but it's not what them. It's still not what the masses want.
No. But there's a couple other side projects to the stadium project they're looking at. Is there's a group that wants to develop a 20,000 person housing development downtown, farther out, just next to this, not actually the West.
20,000?
20,000 people, a whole retail, commercial, urban living kind of an environment. There's a greenway space that's tied into this stadium proposal. There's a resurgence of the whole area. The when 94 got built in 92, that interstate went in that area. It did really lop off that whole part of town. It hasn't changed in 20 years. And it's coming. The stadium's going to come here. So they're not going to let, if they don't get their $3 million for a couple concessions, like you said, that's not going to stop them. They're bringing soccer to town, and we'll see if something happens. But you get the metro down there, you get some green space, you get some development of some sort going. It's going to be a nice part of town.
You know, on one hand, though, I don't really know what happened behind the scenes, but how the group, Taylor and the Pollard family and McGuire, persuaded the leaders of MLS that it's a better idea. We need an outdoor stadium and not put it in a stadium that was already built with the intent of having soccer.
Yeah.
I could care less if the Wolves have soccer too.
Yeah.
And
well,
I don't really care that these guys are going to have it, but there had to be something beyond playing outdoors.
You'd think so, but I think sometimes we all get focused on that. You know, you're building a house and you go, I got to have a window here, or I got to have face the house this direction, or whatever it is. You just, whether it's logical or not, it's what you want. And they want outdoor soccer. And I thought the Wolves had it for sure. When they negotiated that into the Vikings clause, that they got to have a...
I bet they thought so too.
Oh my gosh, it was theirs to lose, I think. And but again, you got to listen to what your buyers and sellers want, and then that they wanted the outdoor stadium, so that's what's going to happen.
Now, what about you had also something about lacrosse ranking as the fastest growing sport at the high school level. Any chance lacrosse could become big? And
well,
they could play either at the soccer or the new stadium?
Right.
How many years do we have?
Right after soccer
decades.
Becomes big. Well, one of the things I was reading today was that, you know, there are people out there that are really passionate about their lacrosse that say that women's lacrosse should not be called lacrosse.
What?
Because the history, the rules, the way the game is played is so different from what the way they'd call true lacrosse or historical lacrosse, i.e. men's lacrosse, that that it's such a different game that it really shouldn't happen. And part of that is the level of violence and everything else. We've talked a lot on this show about concussion issues for the NFL and hockey and kind of those
sports. I'm confused. They're saying this because of how violent the sport was when Native Americans played it?
Right. And the way men play it. The men's rules today are different. So they're saying that it's not really a true lacrosse game. So the concern has been that with all the concussions that have happened in those sports, and we're learning about it years later, there's a relatively small number of concussions today in girls' lacrosse. But like anything in life, if we can solve a couple people getting injured, is it worth having more helmets or not? And that's the big debate that's kind of raging.
Put on the dang helmets. What's the big deal?
Yeah, well, Florida's the first state. That's the first state that is mandated for all high school girls lacrosse that they have to wear helmets. Nobody else has that rule. There's a pretty strong pushback in Minnesota against having them, saying if you play this game right, you shouldn't need helmets because it's not the kind of sport where you're going to have that.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't always get played right.
Right. No. There's, say, the inadequate coaching, inadequate training, and three, this is plain accidents. I didn't mean to headbutt you, whatever it is, or you get a stick in the head.
Hey, they're playing with sticks.
And hard balls, too. So it's...
That's ridiculous.
Let's see what happens.
Today's Marsh Hallberg Sports Law segment on 105 The Ticket, brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. Marsh and I and Hellboy be right back. Going to do a little D-bag of the day. One of our D-bags, actually, it's a collective one.
Mm.
It relates to what we're talking about. The San Francisco 49ers need more parking space, so they want to take over some soccer fields and pave them. They think of things differently out that way, apparently. So that'll be one of several D-bag of the day contestants when we return.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Oh, all right. Can we just listen to this whole song?
Yes, it's not Frankie Valli.
Screw talk radio. Let's just do music.
That's the closest I'm getting to... Frankie Valli, was it?
No. Oh, my gosh. It's sad.
Our program coordinator is pulling his hair out hearing that. Screw Talk Radio.
Who said that?
I'll defend you.
Okay.
Wasn't you. It must have been something we had
parakeet on my arm.
Yeah, who is it? You know why Hellboy's done a pretty good imitation of you by blurting that out. Apologize for Marsh for saying that in his voice.
Excuse me.
Saying
Sports
what?
Talk rules.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
That's the real Marsh.
So there.
That wasn't Hellboy doing
voices. Hellboy, quit
again.
Saying those things, Hellboy.
Yeah. Say it one more time for me.
Now, I mentioned this is one of, we're actually putting this on one of our D-bags candidates. The 49ers, San Francisco 49ers, offering more than $50 million to park cars on a youth soccer park next to Levi's Stadium.
$50 million?
$15 million.
Oh,
they're 15, willing to spend okay. $15 million on it, but they're going to take away these soccer fields for these poor little children. I mean, I believe soccer fields for kids is much more important than those for billionaires.
What are they doing now? They just know where to park. Everybody just gets mad at each other.
Need more.
Well, don't we all? But
opponents of this say losing the fields could cripple the popular Santa Clara Youth Soccer League. And payment isn't enough to buy land and construct new fields.
Oh, God, the cost of land out there is so insane that...
But they don't want to give up the field. I don't blame them.
How long is the $15 million for? Like, is that like a five-year gig or something? Or?
No, they're probably trying to buy it.
Oh, it would buy the
land. Oh, my God.
Okay. I thought it was a long-term lease.
They also want the right to develop the 10-acre site for other uses. $15 million for 10 acres. $1.5 million an acre. That's some pricey real estate.
Yeah. Welcome to California.
Why don't they just get a better public transit system so they don't need so many parking spots?
I think that costs a tad more than $15 million. I'm not sure, but maybe just a tad more.
Especially in...
Think about the long run.
Then in California.
Big picture.
California. That would be a little pricey. Let's we have a couple of other candidates here. Do you have Brian Price? This way people can know what he did. Mm. Talking to the media, he had a little issue with media.
Has it always been this way, where we just tell everybody everything? So every opponent that we have has to know exactly what we have, which relievers are available, which guys are here and which guys aren't here, when they can play, what they can do. It's nobody's business. It's certainly not the opponent's business. We've got to deal with this. I'd like to talk, and I have spoken as candidly as I can with you people. If that's not good enough, I won't say a thing. I'll go yes, sir, no, sir, and I can do that. But I've been as candid as I can be about this team and our players, and we got to deal with this. Every team that we play has to know every guy that's here and what they can and can't do. Me. It's a disgrace.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay?
This lasted 6 minutes, and they counted 77 F-bombs he dropped. Brian Price, he apologized. Okay, he apologized for... he went on Twitter. In my pregame conversation with reporters yesterday, I used wholly inappropriate language to describe the media coverage of our team. While I stand by the content of my message, I'm sorry for the choice of words. You know, I can't even put this guy on the D-back list because I just think it's funny.
That is funny, but...
But you know.
77's not that many. It's not even about an eighth of the way through the movie Scarface.
Well, and it's not also in 6 minutes. What's that, like 12 a minute? That's not so bad.
So, yeah, it's every 4 or 5 seconds.
And sure, I've done worse.
All right, we have another guy. Not this guy would have gotten much bigger news if it wasn't for Brian Price, the Reds manager. The Penguins general manager, Jim Rutherford, he was walking after the game. The team loses 2-1 to the Rangers. And he's exiting the media elevator, walking with reporters to the dressing room for the Penguins. Then he addressed a columnist from Trib Live, the columnist named Rob Rossi, who's a frequent critic since the hiring last June of Rutherford. And he said, started out by saying, thanks for your support. You're a blanking jerk. And then at some point he followed the jerk comment up, actually it was right after that, with a suggestion to, quote, go sell ice cream now. I don't quite know what that means. Oh, you probably can't do anything. Go sell ice cream. You know what? I've gone to places where they sell ice cream, and those people are trained technicians when it comes to giving good ice cream.
Do not try this at home.
No, do not try it at home. And the guy said that his role was to provide opinion. Because the guy questioned his role. Well, your opinion is blank, or blankety blank, according to him. But, again, he picked the wrong day to go after somebody in the media when you got a Reds manager dropping 77 F-bombs, which is, oh, my God.
Let's give Price at least honorable mention for that.
All right, we'll give it that. Okay. Now, we have to, as you know, Marsh, we also have a another part, because you can't really put in guys that are police blotter, D-bags.
Right.
This guy, well, first of all, whoever it was, and to my understanding, they haven't caught the guy that beat up the former doctor for the North Stars.
Yeah.
And It's just terrible that anyone would do something like that. It's disgusting. But this guy's disgusting, too. Detroit Lions had an offensive lineman named Rodney Austin. Well, he was cut. He was cut this morning.
Was he an existing player?
He was a player for him. Okay. He was a backup lineman, offensive lineman. Here's what happened, according to a police report. He shoved Yvonne Gill Sadler on April 5th around 2 a.m. during a dispute in her Charlotte, North Carolina apartment. And when she went down after the shove, she was holding a female infant less than a year old. The report said Austin prevented the woman from calling 911 by stealing her phone. The baby and Gil Sadler were uninjured, according to police. But he was arrested a few days ago, booked for assault, larceny, child abuse, interfering with emergency communication. Austin was a backup, was cut by the team today. And you know what? Kudos to the team, but this guy, no team should ever go near this guy. He should be, nobody should ever hire this guy to do something like that.
Well, unfortunately, like we said, there's a correlation. The better the player, the more forgiving the team, right? So if this guy was some all-pro star, somehow they'd rationalize this and they'd bring him back. But if you're on the bubble, there are a lot of people on that level that are floating around that are at that level that they could get somebody that doesn't have that problem. You know?
Well, and actually, that's a good point because we can only speculate. What if someone did what Adrian Peterson did and was not a star player, just a backup player? You would never see him again.
No, you wouldn't. No, we all justify that and move on.
And do you see that happening very much, if at all? Does it happen in the courts?
Well, sometimes it goes both ways. Sometimes the people that are the most prominent actually can get penalized in the sense of everybody's so worried about looking like they're giving somebody special treatment that they've been so far the other way that they actually hammer the guy more than they should. So it's finding that middle ground. That thing called prosecutorial discretion is a tough thing for attorneys to do every day, decide who to charge, what to charge them with, stick to their, charging decisions.
Well, I mean, you have had. Have you ever had any high profile athlete cases, either prosecutor or an attorney? I have no idea.
I have that I just won't mention, but successful. This is years ago. I haven't had one for a while, but I have a while back.
Did you find it to be more of a challenge because of their celebrity?
Yeah, and I actually did that pitch just where I said, let's just pretend this is, Mr. Joe Average, who did these things, and don't punish him more because of that. And they were receptive to that. And it was, again, things have changed a lot in the last, I've been doing this, prosecuting and defending work for 30-some years. So life has changed a whole lot over that time. So
better or worse?
Better, I think, in the sense that we're holding people far more accountable for domestic violence. I mean, I don't care which side of the thing on. Nobody wants that to happen. So I think a lot of the things that kind of got poo-pooed, or maybe the officers came to the house before and just went, whatever, just domestic squabble, and they left. Now people are going to jail, there's a lot less tolerance, just like there's for DWIs. Defense attorneys, we want safe streets all. We want a proper process in place for people to have to go through. That's our challenge. So,
The challenge, too, just to be a cop nowadays compared to what it would have been 20, 30 years ago, is you have to be trained in everything.
Is it just me? Is it every single night? I watch national news till every night. I record it and I get home and watch it. I see every single night. I'm waiting for one night. I don't have a story about a police,
They're on the lookout for him, quite
every
frankly.
Every single night. So it's.
But it's also majority. There's not issues with the majority.
Most police officers, God bless them. I mean, they are working their butt off for us. They are walking down dark alleys in the middle of the night.
Yep.
What's going on? They're coming to your house when there's trouble or medical problems. And like every profession out there, there are bad people in the profession. Unfortunately, police, because of the positions they have and the power they have and the weapons they have, they make mistakes. It's a lot more earth-shattering than if my garbage doesn't get picked up correctly or something. You know what I mean? So,
Well, we're with Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. Hellboy's here, as always.
Is he awake?
I don't know with him. He did that.
Sorta.
Why don't you do your Marsh imitation again when you almost got him in trouble? We're going to come right back. We'll be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, suhanunfiltered.com, and Jim's segment, sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously, and we'll take seriously what Jim has to say in a moment. Listen how cocky he's getting.
I know.
He was so shy when he started doing those sports updates. Now,
next week, I want some different CCR music for this guy, okay? We got to spread the range. There's a lot of great CCR music.
It's a song, though.
I know, but he can have the band. We're going to expand him. He's more than a one-song guy.
All right, the whole band. Jim is a musician himself.
Exactly. We want a whole band for him. So next week, Jim is demanding. He's actually emailed, called me. He's upset about it.
We are joined by musician Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. And Jim, I hope you're taking seriously the music he plays for you. Tell him what you want. He needs to listen.
Oh, I don't know. Surprise me.
There you go.
See, now you're giving him carte blanche.
MC Hammer.
No. Well, the good thing is if he plays something I like and surprises me, then I can praise him. And if, you know, the business I'm in, if he plays something I don't like, then I can rip him.
Okay, I like that part.
Well, we'll do baby steps. So next week it's just going to be some other CCR music. I'm going to work with him here on that.
How about a little Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons?
How about, can we do that, Frankie Valli, next week for you?
I'll tell you what, I saw...
Jersey Boys?
Jersey Boys on Broadway a couple of times. That is, might be my favorite musical of all time.
It's here next week.
Love the movie.
It's here in town one week.
Now, Jim, because you do, I mean, you're a musician and you sing. Can you get anywhere near Frankie Valli?
Oh, God, no. I would sprain something if I tried. You've got to know your limitations. And that's one thing you also, as you sing other people's music, you learn is that everybody kind of writes to their own strengths. And nobody else would write anything like Frankie Valli song in a truck.
Yeah, that's a good point.
When's your band playing again?
I've been traveling so much. We're practicing tonight. We're trying to get back, you know, trying to get up to speed to a point where we have a long set list where we can change things on a nightly basis. So we're kind of regrouping at the moment because I haven't been in town much.
Well, let us know when and where, okay?
I will, absolutely.
Jim, you know it's unfortunate because you'd be... The paper would never go for it, but wouldn't it be great if you could do the anthem before, you know, whether it's a Vikings, Twins, Wild, Timberwolves game, but they'd never let you do it because it would look like you're in bed with the team. But that would have to be some fun too, I would think.
And you know, I'm not that kind of singer. I mean, to me, an anthem singer should be somebody with, you know, somebody who really can show off vocal range. I mean, I'm a rock. I like singing. I like singing rock and roll songs, but I'm not somebody who's gonna wow anybody singing an anthem a cappella.
How about the Jimi Hendrix version?
Now that would be cool. As long as I can light my guitar on fire at the end and somebody will replace it.
We'll light your hair on fire.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of on fire, how's this for a trend? Speaking of on fire, how about those Wild?
I'm not surprised. I was surprised at the utter domination of the flow of the game. I wasn't surprised they won. I wasn't surprised they won fairly easily. They're just a superior team, you know, and We kind of figured out as the Colorado series went on last year that they were a superior team, but it took a while. I thought from the time the puck dropped pretty much this series, they've been a superior team. They're deeper. They're faster. They don't take stupid penalties. I think they're better. I've always loved Ken Hitchcock as a guy and a coach, but I think the Wild's better coach, better defensive system, more discipline. The fact that they could play as tough a game as St. Louis yesterday, be pretty even with them in hits, win more battles along the boards, win more battles in front of the net, and not take any penalties while the Blues' entire approach was to draw them into retaliatory penalties. I was just really impressed by both their skill and their discipline. This is we talked about yesterday, Bob, Anaheim's really the only team in this conference I look at and go, wow, that might be a really tough team to beat. Everybody else thinks they got a shot at.
Well, and at this team is fun to watch. And also, when you're looking at St. Louis, they're 2-17 their past 19 road playoff games.
Yep.
That's got to be driving Hitchcock nuts because a number of these players have been with them for, you know, a good many of those losses.
Yeah, and they have talent. And this is a talented, deep roster. I mean, before the series, I heard a lot of NHL analysts saying that the Blues had the deeper, more talented roster, and with Tarasenko and Stastny and Oshie and Backus, you can make that case. But you know, the Wild's main advantage going in was really the goaltending situation. And last night, Dubnyk didn't even have to play.
No, 17
saves. They had one with empty net last night. So I think we have to give Fletcher a lot of credit for making not only the Dubnyk trade, which is obvious, but also building up the depth at forward. That's where this team is better than last year's. And also, you got to give Yo a lot of credit for the way he has ingrained the defensive system to the point where everybody comes in and plays it well. Players who were considered defensive liabilities to other rosters come in and look really good defensively here. Players who are considered to be offensive-minded players like Zucker come in and all of a sudden they're playing the defensive system well. And other than Dumba getting a little out of whack sometimes and and getting out of position and letting the Blues have some odd man rushes. Other than Dumba just being kind of young and excitable, this is an incredibly disciplined team.
And by the way, the if you're a Blues fan, and I know we have some listening, 9 straight road losses.
But
2-17, 9 in a row.
But who's coming?
And honestly, doesn't that speak? I mean, listen, too often words like character get thrown around in sports, and too often the context gets a little conflated. But I do think that says something. When you have a talented veteran team and you can't win a road playoff game, there's something wrong with your guys.
Well, and we've seen that over the years with the Vikings, too, when they were losing road. It stays in their head, and it's tough to shake. And I'll say this. After Pominville's goal, these guys had to be dispirited. Because, I mean, that one had to be a creasy. The way he scored, that had to be a crusher.
Absolutely. But I think I always thought the Vikings thing was different. Listen, NHL, these guys play 41 road games a year. They all play internationally. All the good ones play internationally. They've all played in a million rinks over the world. Yes, and it's also a sport where home ice advantage is the least predictable advantage. I mean, there are plenty of upsets in hockey playoffs, both, you know, series yep. and game. With the Vikings, I always thought it was a dome team that had trouble playing on grass or in warm weather and other different circumstances. You know, the St. Louis should be just fine playing in the X, but they haven't been fine playing anywhere other than their own home ice.
Well, and these guys go up 3-1. I don't see any scenario where they would lose up 3-1 because they get to come home again, and they've played so well on the road, they could just knock them out in 5.
Well, the only danger, I mean, I agree with you. I think the Wild is a superior team. I thought they would win the series going in 7. Now it feels more like 6. Maybe 5. The only thing is, you just got to be really careful about hockey luck, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can outplay a team, and they can have a puck bounce right, and they can be up on you, and that can change the entire flow of the game. And, you know, we've seen when the Wild gets up on the Blues get frustrated, the Blues do stupid things, and the Wild dominates play. But, you know, if the Blues score the first goal, that can change the entire tenor of the game.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about this earlier because Hellboy brought it up. Is there any reason he would go back or mess with the lineup now? Just leave Bergenheim and Fontaine in there and not mess with it after last night. You win 2 games with these guys on the ice. Whether it's superstition or just the better chemistry.
Yeah, but I think when you have the kind of lineup depth they have,
you want to use it.
If you see something, I wouldn't let me know this way. I wouldn't make a change to make a change. But if you see a matchup, if you think you can exploit or how a speed can exploit. Or you want fresh legs on the ice, I wouldn't be afraid to make a change, either just as superstition. Now, I thought Bergenheim's interesting. He seems to put himself in dangerous positions. I mean, making himself a dangerous offensive player pretty frequently. He makes some nice little plays, but he just never seems to finish or produce. Fontaine, I actually really like. I just think Fontaine's one of those guys, everybody on his line seems to play better when he's with them, so I wouldn't mess with him. If Halla is showing them in practice that he's ready to have a good game, I would not be afraid to put Halla in for Bergenheim.
Yeah, because they do. There is depth there. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, suhanunfiltered.com. Are you doing a podcast tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight, 5 o'clock at Kieran's. Brian Coleman from the Minnesota United is going to come in. We're going to talk soccer. We'll talk. He's also from Woodbury, so we'll talk Minnesota Wild and all kinds of other sports and music and TV shows and all that other stuff. And the first 50 people to show up and check in or retweet get a free Guinness as well.
Well, very nice.
And then tomorrow, tentatively 4 o'clock at the Liffey with Russo before the big game.
Well, you got to have him on. That goes without saying. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, great talking to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. See you.
All right. Bye, Jim. Jim Suhan, Star Tribune, and Suhan Unfiltered, and Premier Pool and Spa sponsoring him. Marsh Hallberg is with us. We're going to come right back, and we will be joined by our hockey maven / expert, Jack Jablonski.
Mr. California.
California lad, yep. We're going to be joined by Jack.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Got to keep our composure.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
Byway.
Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way.
You know, always looking for adventure. Yeah, our guest,
Mr. California,
Jack Jablonski, Mr. Hockey. So, Jack.
How are you?
Good. What did you think of last night's tilt?
Exciting. It shows a lot of hope for the rest of the series, especially with the way they limited St. Louis to about 15 shots. You got to be happy.
That was, what is it, 17 saves, I think, that Dubnyk had. They just dominate them. They just took it to them. And that's got to be, if you're a fan, that has to be something that you're very excited about.
Oh, for sure. I think the biggest thing is that you have to realize through the first three games, the Wild, for most of the series, have just been suffocating to the St. Louis offense. And that has a lot to do with the zone entry for St. Louis. They can't get any momentum. I mean, beyond the very few times that St. Louis has had on-man rushes, you can't really point out any time that they've been truly able to keep the puck in the zone successfully with a dead, tired Minnesota Wild line.
Now, Jack, when we talked to you before the series started, where did you put it at? Did you think it was going to be six?
I had Wild in seven.
Oh, you did? Okay. Where are you now? You thinking five or six? You don't think seven, or do you?
No, I think I'm looking at Wild in six. They played extremely well at home yesterday, and you have to look at the same tomorrow. The biggest thing tomorrow is going to be the first period, and it has been for the whole series. The team that's come out and scored the first goal has won all three games, but and that I don't look at as the biggest stat. I think is what you have to see is the shots on goal and where the actual teams have been playing. When I say that, I mean how that they've played. I mean the dominance has been the Wild in games 1 and 3, and then that first period in game 2, St. Louis was all over us. The first period tomorrow is going to be huge.
Yeah, and you know though what is in the heads of these Blues players? 9 in a row playoff road losses. 2-17 in the last 19 road games. That you cannot get that out of your head. I mean, it has to be gnawing at them, particularly coming off a 3-0 shellacking.
Oh, for sure. And the biggest thing is it's not going to be easy playing in the Xcel Energy Center. It's probably the toughest place to play in the NHL. That being said, you know, the Wild fans know their hockey. They know when to get excited. And St. Louis, the hockey players know that. I mean, you've got Oshie from Minnesota. He knows what he's dealing with. Backus from Minnesota. He knows what he's dealing with here in Minnesota. We know our hockey, and because of that, it's a very tough place to play.
And this will make it even tougher. Last night's game started at 7. Tomorrow night's game starts at 8:30. That's another hour and a half to get lubed.
Yeah, exactly. Get a little bit more alcohol in there, and we all know what's to come.
Yeah, it's going to be that place. I mean, it was rocking last night. When you're in there tomorrow night, your team has just come off a 3-0 win, take a 2-1 lead. The place will be as loud and as excited as it's ever been.
Yep.
Because people are starting to get a feel of this could be a really special year.
This team can go a long way.
Exactly. And that was the projection going into the year. We all expected them to make a run this year at the playoffs. And with that, you know, December and January downfall before we had Dubnyk, you know, we were lost. As Parise said, we're easy to play against. You know, everyone can beat us. It's not tough. You know, getting Dubnyk and getting the confidence back in that locker room and the leadership stepping up has been huge. This whole team has been turned around because of that one move. And because of that, you know, this team is looking at a Stanley Cup contention right now.
Now, Jack, are any of the other series a surprise to you?
I've personally been surprised by Calgary. I didn't think they'd be as good as they are. Being on the West Coast, I saw them a little bit more than I did when I was in Minnesota. And after losing their captain Giordano and still being up 2-1 and having home ice advantage for game 4 again, I'm not surprised. Hiller's played extremely well, and with Ryan Miller out in Vancouver, you know, it should be interesting to see if they slip by in about 5 or 6 games and see if they end up with Anaheim.
Now, did you think that Anaheim and Winnipeg would be on the verge of being over? That it'd be 3-0 by now, or that it would be a 3-0 series?
I thought it would be 2-1 at this point. With Winnipeg and the excitement going back to Winnipeg for the first time since 96, it was a loud building last night, and Anaheim snuck away with one late there. in overtime, but I still see in this one going probably at least five games. There's no way that they get swept at home in Winnipeg.
Now, where are you getting all these games from? I mean, what do you, what hockey package do you have that you catch every game?
He doesn't go to school at all. He just watches.
Yeah, I don't go to school anymore, guys.
You know, I think what he's, he thinks he's in Vegas watching from one of the sports books. Is that it?
With my fake ID in the casino. So, no, I somehow have all the channels. It works out perfectly. You got USA and CNBC and NBC Sports. It's all working out. So I've been able to catch a lot of the games, but I don't know who planned this, but somehow finals are right in the middle of playoffs, and this is not a good combination.
Oh, so you have to study tonight, too, and tomorrow night.
Yeah, I have a non-sports question for you. Have they, with all the drought news out of California and the extreme measures being taken, has there been anything you've seen on campus? Have there been any either symbolic or actual changes in water use for you guys?
Not at USC. We're USC pretty much calls themselves their own little city,
okay,
and they're wealthy enough to where they don't care about the water situation, I guess, which is perfectly fine because for some reason they just have all 28 of their fountains running 24/7.
Hmm. As a matter of fact, Jack is right now sitting out in his little quad, his little area, and under the sprinkler.
Yeah, well, there's no sprinkler here today, but it's a little cloudy. I know it's kind of snowing there, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, don't. Now, okay, what's the temp there, 80s or 70s?
No, I think it's like mid-60s right now, and the sun's starting to come out. It's like cloudy all day.
Jack, you better go get a shawl and put something around. Keep yourself nice and toasty.
I almost had to put sweatpants on today.
Oh, no. That would be horrible.
It would have been. It would have been bad, but it's okay. I can handle it.
You can make it through. Well, Jack Jablonski, always great to talk to you on Tuesdays. Hey, now, what's your schedule the rest of the week? Do you have any time? Because this is playoff time. I'd love to talk to you more than just Tuesday. Do you have any days that you could join us?
I can definitely join you guys on Thursday.
Okay. Well, it'd have to be earlier because we have a guy we always have at that time. I'll get in touch with you. Just shoot That's me what fine. Schedule yeah. you have between 2 and 4 Minnesota time. Let me know when you're available the rest of the week. Jack, great talking to you. Jack Jablonski, our hockey maven / expert.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
I want to remind people, tune in at 7 o'clock tonight for the Vikings full schedule release. The NFL schedules come out. Vikings schedule will be out at 7. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson from Radioactive Sports. They will extend their show to bring you the Vikings full game lineup. As I mentioned earlier, they will stay here to midnight or beyond to answer all your schedule questions.
No way!
These guys, I'm telling you, when it comes to schedules, they're on top of it. All night. They may be here when we show up at 2 o'clock. You never know. Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. I love Tuesdays because I love having you join us. Hellboy, well, I'm stuck with him. Yeah. I'm going to be much happier with him if he ever gives me a little Frankie Valli in the fourth season.
Next week, we want it. Next Tuesday.
I don't want to wait till then.
Your
I
job
want
is on the line. We want it.
What?
Okay.
Oh, now, you know, maybe now you'll get it.
Doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, okay. Nothing's fair. Okay. Believe me. All right, thank you for listening. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson, coming up right away.
And any sun. Will you partake of that last offered cup? Or disappear into the potter's ground? Man comes around.
Pure Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.